I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very warm welcome to those who have traveled a long distance from overseas to come to worship with us this morning. Very warm welcome to you. So happy and so glad to see all of you. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, and we pray that at the conclusion of this worship service, after your worship in this house of the Lord, you may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, in case you are not aware, we have already entered into the third month of the year, and soon Easter will be here, and then winter will be here, and before you know it, the year is going to be over. And that is how fast time travels. And so we need to keep reminding ourselves that our life is only as a vapor. It appears for a little time, and soon it vanishes away. So every day we must be asking ourselves this question: Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? And remember, we said we are to urge ourselves every day to do something good for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we must be doing every day. Do something good for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when he returns, my dear friends, we'll be very ready to give an account of what we did for him while we lived on this earth. My subject this morning is witnessing. Are you for real? Witnessing, are we for real? Now, often we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ feel shy to be described as being zealous for the Lord in front of non-Christians. Now, we feel shy not because we are humble. Now, we feel shy because we do not want to be seen as fanatics, or do not want to be described as fanatics or religious fanatics, because today religious fanatics have a very, very evil connotation. Evil religious fanatics are related or associated with terrorists. So we do not want to identify ourselves as religious fanatics. We don't want to be thought of as being associated with terrorists. Yes, but friends, I dare to say that we, if there is a scale between fanatics and there is the other end of the scale, I think we'll fall fall into the other end of the scale. We will be no better than really weak, flabby Christians. Yes, weak, flabby, and soft Christians. That's what we really are. We could hardly be described as being religious, let alone fanatical. By the way we live, for example, do we show the world that we really have Jesus in our hearts? Do we really show that? By the way we live, do we show that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning soon? Yes, we say that he's going to return soon, but do we, by the way we live, show that we really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning soon, and his return is so close, even at the doors? And by the way we live, do we show that we are really setting our affections on things above and not on things on the earth? I dare say, my dear friends, by the way we live, we might not show, or we might show less than one-tenth what we claim to believe. Isn't it true? Now, friends, we must admit that we are soft, weak, and flabby. But that must not be the case with us. You look at the early church Christians. I'm talking about the faithful early church Christians. Look at the kind of pattern that they set for us. They were persecuted, first of all, by the religious, fanatical Jews, and next they were persecuted by violent Gentiles, and then they were persecuted by the Roman rulers. They were beaten, stoned, thrown into prison, and then they were later on thrown into the arenas to feed the lions in those days. But friends, they were fearless. The Word of God tells us that the early Christians, I'm talking about the faithful ones, they turned the ancient world upside down. Now that is the kind of witness that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, very, very effective witness. They turned the ancient world upside down. Now that's what we want to talk about this morning, effective witnessing for the Lord. The ancient Christians, yes, who were very, very effective for the Lord, were zealous, courageous, They were ready witnesses, they were willing witnesses, and they were surrendered witnesses. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Zealous, courageous, ready, living, and surrendered witnesses. Now look at verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And keep your finger on this page, because I'll be coming back to these verses over and over again. Verse 13 says, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good?" If ye be followers of that which is good. Now the word followers here means more than passive following. Yes, it is active following. It is diligent following. It is zealous following. Now another idea that this word has is that it has the idea of imitation. Following means imitating. Imitating that which is good. Following zealously that which is good. My dear friends, we are to be zealous witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to be effective witnesses for him. Nelson Mandela, I think we know this name. Now, he was a very, very famous man, the first black African president of South Africa. He was a freedom fighter, you might say. He was deeply opposed to the apartheid policy that was in place in South Africa years ago. The apartheid policy, spelled out by the white government in those days, meant that there was to be a legal separation between whites and blacks. The whites and the blacks could not mix. But Nelson Mandela was opposed to this policy, and so he fought against this policy. And because of his the daring fight against this policy, he was put into prison. In fact, he was put in prison over several times, and the last time he was put in prison, he was there for something like 27 years. And then the overseas governments and leaders protest against the South African government for treating this man that way, and finally, they had no choice but to release him. Then after he was released, he was elected to be the first black African president of South Africa. And he was really a great man. Then there was this man by the name of Morgan Freeman. You heard of Morgan Freeman? Morgan Freeman is a very famous black American actor. Morgan Freeman got to know Nelson Mandela in the 1990s, when Nelson Mandela was already the president of South Africa. He got to know him, and he got to know him real well. In his words, Morgan Freeman said this of Nelson Mandela. He said, "I got to walk with him, talk with him, hold his hand, and get to know one of the greatest men who ever lived." Yes, and then there was this interview conducted for Nelson Mandela, at which interview he was posed this question: if a movie is made of you, and if you were to choose someone to act as Nelson Mandela, whom would you choose? This man said, "I choose Morgan Freeman." So Morgan Freeman was privileged to take this role as Nelson Mandela in the film Invictus. I've never seen the movie, but I read this somewhere. He took the role of Nelson Mandela, and he played it very, very well. And then when the movie was made and it was first presented to Nelson Mandela, you know what Nelson Mandela said? "Now perhaps people will remember me after seeing the movie," which means this, that Nelson Mandela played the role Morgan Freeman played the role of Nelson Mandela so accurately that he actually very well portrayed Nelson Mandela, to the extent that Nelson Mandela said, "Perhaps people will remember me." Now the question is, how was this Morgan Freeman able to imitate this Nelson Mandela so closely? How was he able to do it? In his words, as we said, he said, "I got to walk with him, talk with him, hold his hand, and to know one of the greatest men who ever lived." Yes, this Morgan Freeman must have studied the character of Nelson Mandela, studied his speeches, studied his behavior, studied his character, studied everything about him so well that he was able to portray him very, very accurately, to the extent that the imitation was very, very good. My dear friends, you and I have been saved. to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, so that we may be the zealous witnesses that he wants us to be? The more we are like Christ, the more zealous witnesses we will be. But the question is, how may we be like the Lord Jesus Christ? And I mean like the Lord Jesus Christ for real, not acting, but for real. The only way for us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and be the effective witnesses and be the zealous witnesses he wants us to be is to study his word, so that we know the Lord Jesus Christ very well. The more we know him in the gospel, the more we know him in his word, the more we will be like him. And the more we will be like him, the better witnesses we will be, the more zealous witnesses we will be. Yes. Now, we are to be zealous witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ if we are to be effective. And at the same time, we said we must be knowledgeable witnesses. We must know God's word. We must know the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know his word. Now, if a person is zealous, but if he does not know the word of God well, or if he does not know the word of God, or he has little knowledge of the word of God, or a wrongful knowledge of the word of God, that person can become very, very fanatical in the wrong sense, in the bad sense of the word. Saul was such a person before he was converted and became the great apostle, the great apostle Paul. He was such a person. He thought that he was doing God a great service by persecuting the Christians and the church in those days because he had the wrongful knowledge of the word of God. Now, I told you some time ago, I think quite a few times, about some young people in Singapore. In fact, there were several groups over several periods of time. One time there was this group that was very zealous. They really wanted to serve the Lord, but somehow they were influenced by wrongful teachings. So they had a wrongful knowledge of the Word of God. And as a result of which, they started opposing the practices in the church. They said that in the church, at the worship service, we must not have musical instruments. So no piano, no organ. Then they also said you could not be singing hymns because hymns are man-made. They are composed not for the glory of God, but for the glory of man. And therefore, we should not be singing hymns. And what should we be singing? We should only be singing psalms. That's all and nothing more. Yes. And then they were opposed to the celebration of Christmas. They said that the celebration of Christmas is pagan, so you mustn't be celebrating Christmas. And they opposed the church leadership. And they said that the church leadership was misleading the church. The leadership was unspiritual, in the way they went about leading the church. Now, these young people really got carried away by wrongful teachings, as a result of which they became quite fanatical. So, friends, little knowledge or wrongful knowledge can be dangerous as we see. Yes, so if a person has zeal and he has little knowledge or wrongful knowledge, he can be quite dangerous. Now, what if a person is full of knowledge, full of the knowledge of the Word of God? Yes, but he has no zeal, all right? No zeal, he has lots of knowledge of the Word of God, but he has no zeal. Then he would be of no practical good at all. Knowledge, but no zeal. Yes, he will be of no use to other people. Of course, he will be of no use to the Lord. Now, the Lord himself has set us the perfect balance, the example of a perfect balance. He is the one true living God. His knowledge is infinitely and absolutely great. And then while he was on earth, he was perfectly zealous. There was not a single time when he was not laboring for the Heavenly Father. His will was to do the Heavenly Father. And he said this, "My zeal or my meat is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. My desire, yes, my meat, my pleasure, my desire is to do the will of the Heavenly Father." He was always very, very zealous. Friends, we must be zealous. We must be knowledgeable. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has set us the example. And then we must be followers of that which is good. Yes, we must be zealous of that which is good. Now, what is the good that we must be zealous of? Now, this good that we are talking about is good not from the standpoint of human beings, but it is good from the standpoint of the one true living God. Now, we might have our own ideas of goodness, but friends, let's be very, very clear. Yes, if your heart has not been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have not been washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not a child of God, you have not entered into the kingdom of God, no matter how charitable you are, you could be more charitable than Bill Gates or more charitable than Mark Zuckerberg, you could be the kindest person on planet Earth, my dear friends, your good works or your goodness is not goodness in the sight of the one true living God. The word of God is clear. Your righteousnesses will be as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. And you cannot depend on your goodness or your righteousness to get into heaven. To get into heaven, you must depend on the goodness of God. You must depend on this righteousness, righteousness that is credited to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross of Calvary. Except you have this righteousness credited to you and you have your sins credited to him, you cannot enter into heaven. And the only way for you to have this righteousness credited to you is to come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repent from your sins. It is only when you are saved, when you are really a child of God, that you can begin to talk of doing good works that are pleasing in the sight of the one true living God. And not until then. And they are good works, if they are good works, if they are works done in obedience to God's laws. And they are good works, if they are works done to glorify the name of the Lord. And they are bad works, if they are works done to glorify yourself and not the one true living God. Now, there are a lot of good things that we can be zealous of. Yes, to be the zealous witness that the Lord, or the zealous witnesses that the Lord wants us to be. Now, there are lots of them, but I'd like us to consider just a few this morning. But keep your finger at 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 3, but let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. All right, the next chapter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 7 to 11, and look at some of the good works that we can do to be the good witnesses or the zealous witnesses that the Lord wants us to be. Chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold of grace. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, to be the zealous witnesses that the Lord wants us to be, we must be sober, we must be watchful and prayerful. Verse 7 says it clearly. Yes, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, if we are not sober and watchful, not prayerful, in next to no time, my dear friends, we are going to be swallowed up by the evil one. Yes, for he is as the roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what is meant by being sober and being watchful? Very hard to describe being sober and being watchful. To be sober means to be serious, to be temperate, to have self-control. And then watchful, to be alert. Now, the other day, my wife and I saw a documentary on television that gives us a good understanding of what is meant by being watchful, all right, and being sober and being watchful. I refer you to the meerkats. You know the meerkats? The meerkats is a little creature about this size, and it is a desert creature. Yes, and it stands upright like this. And it's very alert. It's always moving very, very quickly. Now, these meerkats operate as a group, as a community. And the meerkats are very cooperative. When they go out hunting, they go out as a group. And then I saw this documentary about these meerkats going out hunting. As we said, they go out in a group. And then there was this group. All members were digging into the ground to search for food. But then they posed one meerkat as the watchman. And he stood up straight on the rock, and then he was looking into the sky for predators and looking on the ground also for other predators. Now, you know this meerkat has one weakness. You know what it loves to eat? Boiled eggs. Yes, it loves boiled eggs very much. So this scientist put this meerkat to the watchman to the test. He brought this boiled egg to this watchman. Brought it close to the meerkat. You would think that the meerkat would grab this egg, right? No! The meerkat completely ignored the egg and continued to walk, look into the sky for predators and at the ground for other predators. That is what is meant by being watchful. The meerkat did not succumb to the lust of the flesh. My dear friends, that is what we should not be. Should not be succumbing to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. That is what is meant by being watchful and being sober. Sober, being very temperate, it had great self-control. My dear friends, we must be sober, we must be watchful, because we have this very, very fearsome enemy in the devil, who as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if we want to be good witnesses, we want to be zealous witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and be effective for him, we must be sober, watchful, and prayerful. Verse 8 says, have fervent charity. Show love one to another. Have fervent charity. Charity means love. Now, the charity here is not just passive charity. No, it is fervent. It is zealous charity. By this action shall all men know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many churches fail, the witness of many churches fails because members of the church do not know how to love one another in a practical way. They are not long-suffering towards one another, not kind to one another. They are proud. They do not esteem other people better than themselves. Some preachers think that they are better preachers than other preachers. And some elders and some deacons think that they are more spiritual than other members in the church. And then members of the church are quarrelsome, revengeful. They backbite and highlight the weaknesses of other people. But what does the Word of God say? In verse 8, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Look at that verse. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins, my dear friends. And that is what charity does. Now, I'm not saying that we should be covering up everybody's sin. No, that's not what is meant here. We are not to sweep all the sins under the carpet. That's not what is meant here. What it means here is that we must be protective over one another. We must not try to run one another down, but be very protective over one another. But of course, if there is sin to be disciplined, we must discipline. Yes, for the good of the church and for the good of the individual. But generally speaking, we must be protective of one another. That is what is meant by showing love one to another. Speak kindly one of another. And verse 9 says, use hospitality to one another without grudging. My dear friends, if we want to be effective witnesses for the Lord, zealous witnesses for the Lord, we must show hospitality one to another without grudging. Yes, in other words, we show hospitality without murmuring, without complaining, without begrudging. Yes. And whom should we show hospitality to in particular? My dear friends, we are to show hospitality particularly to those who are members of the household of faith. Now, it is not easy to show hospitality, or those of us who show hospitality will understand this, not easy to show hospitality, because to show hospitality requires us to spend time, energy, and money. Yes. Let's understand this. And it could be quite taxing, actually, if the people to whom the hospitality is shown are not appreciative, and if they are inconsiderate, particularly if they are inconsiderate, and there are those who might even take advantage of the kindness and the hospitality of the host. Now I tell you about one incident in our lives, the lives of my wife and myself, in showing hospitality. One time there was this family that came to stay with us. Now we loved this family. They were Christians, we loved this family, and so we welcomed them, they stayed with us, and they were, of course, very appreciative of our hospitality. Yes, they were considerate, appreciative of our hospitality. But you guess what? The next thing that happened was their friend came, and the friend also stayed with us. You see, their friend was not a Christian, but the friend stayed with us. And you guess what? That was not all. These friends, two other friends came and stayed with us. Husband and wife came. My dear friends, I think that was asking a bit too much. All right? Now, did these other people take advantage of our hospitality? I think you have the answer, all right? Yes. But the thing is, what kind of attitude should we be showing in regards to hospitality? We must show hospitality without any begrudging at all. Show it cheerfully. Reverend Timothy Toh, our very, very senior pastor, while he was principal of the Bible College over the years that he was the principal, showed hospitality to many, many people. They came to the Bible College, the Far Eastern Bible College, to seek for refuge. And Reverend Timothy Toh usually welcomed them, almost welcomed all of them. Some of them take advantage of his hospitality. Of course, there were those who took advantage of his hospitality. But over the years, there were those who appreciated the kindness of this man. And as a result of the kindness shown to them, they came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you see, my dear friends, show hospitality. If we want to be zealous witnesses for the Lord, show hospitality. I challenge all of you here, those who are house owners. Yes, why do you open up your homes for the Agape Gathering meetings? A challenge for you, my dear friends, a challenge for you to show hospitality. We have been urged to do this as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That is the challenge for us. And I throw this challenge to you, and if you really want to be good witnesses for the Lord, show hospitality. Verse 10, as everyone hath received the gift. Now, my dear friends, each one of us is given at least one gift. We have been given numerous gifts, but each one of us has been given at least one gift. Now, this morning, I don't intend to distinguish between gifts and talents. I'll just lump them together. Now, gifts and talents are given to us for a good purpose. Yes, we have been given the ability to give, for example. If the Lord has blessed us with wealth, it means that He has given you the ability to give. If you have the ability to give, give. And then the Lord may have blessed you with the talent to comfort people, to teach people, to counsel people, to serve in the kitchen, to play musical instruments. My question to all of us here is, if you have been blessed with these gifts and these talents, what are you doing with them? Yes. What are you doing with them? These talents are given to us not for our own use. They are given to us to bless other people, to be made use of for the glory of the Lord. Don't forget, we don't own all these gifts and talents. We are supposed to be managers of these gifts and talents, stewards of these gifts and talents. And as stewards, we are supposed to be faithful managers to manage all these gifts and talents which the Lord has entrusted to our care. Yes, so if we want to be zealous witnesses, my dear friends, use the gifts that the Lord has given to us. And then verse 11, what about the way we use our tongue? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, we are to speak as the oracles of God. In other words, we are to be the mouthpieces of the one true living God. We must speak what He wants us to speak as His oracles. Yes, speak what he wants us to speak, not so much speaking our own things. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, he says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. In other words, foolish talking, jestings are forbidden by the Lord. Now, does it mean that we cannot joke? No, it doesn't mean that. Of course we can joke. Yes, we can be humorous, and it is good to add humor to our conversation so that our conversation can be very, very interesting. Can you imagine if we speak to one another without joking? I think it's terrible, right? So it's good for us to joke now and then when we speak to one another. But you know, there are some people who never stop joking. Every of the person's sentences is a joke, and you do not know whether that person is serious or not serious. I actually had a friend who was like that years ago. Yes, he was a school teacher, my colleague in those days. Every of his sentences was a joke. Yes, and you didn't know whether he was joking or not joking. And finally, we found out the real reason why he was joking all the time, because he actually was very depressed. All right, so he was joking all the time. He couldn't be serious, friends. But our conversations must not be like that. Yes, our conversations must be aimed to help people grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must help other people grow in the Lord if we want to be zealous witnesses for him. And verse 11, "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." What it means is, if the Lord has given us more, let us give more. That's what it means. If God has given us more, let us be very ready to give. Let us realize that God is no man's debtor. He will not withhold any goodness from us if we were to give cheerfully. Never let us fear to tithe. Never let us fear that if we were to give 10% of our income, we are 10% poorer as far as our income is concerned. Never let us be so concerned, worry that the Lord will not take care of what we are in need of. In fact, this is the blessing, the promise of blessings from the one true living God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says this, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So, friends, he promises us this blessing. He said, "You tithe, bring in your tithe, and see if I will not open the windows of heavens and pour out the blessings unto you, so that you will not have enough room to contain them." But of course, the blessings did not necessarily come in the form of material blessings. But for sure, the Lord will pour down upon us spiritual blessings, such as his peace, his joy, and his mercies. Don't we want to have those things? These are things which money cannot buy, and the Lord promises us abundance of these blessings if we were to tithe readily. Yes. So, why be zealous in speaking for the Lord? Why be zealous in giving? The reason is given here, so that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the reason, so that God may be glorified through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So friends, let us be the good witnesses that the Lord wants us to be. Be zealous of that which is good. Be sober. Be watchful. Be prayerful. Show love one to another, zealously, fervently. Use our hospitality one to another without grudging. Use the gifts that he has given to us, not for our own profit, but for the profit and the blessings of others. Then speak as the oracles of God. Speak God what God wants us to speak, and give in accordance to the ability which God has given to us to give. Now look at verse 13. "And who is he that will harm you if you are zealous of that which is good?" Now today, in ordinary times, when there are no persecutions, I think there is hardly anyone who will harm a Christian who is zealous of that which is good. But in times of persecution, of course, Christians will be persecuted for doing things that are good. Yes, as in the situation the Christians were in when Peter wrote this epistle to them. Verse 14 says, "But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled." Be not afraid of the terror. That is the terror of the persecutors. If we want to be effective witnesses, we must be courageous witnesses. First, we must be zealous witnesses. Then number two, we must be courageous witnesses. A martyr in Switzerland was standing barefooted in front of his persecutors, and he was about to be burned to death. He called to the magistrate who was superintending the execution. He said, "You come forward, and you feel my heart. Now, if it beats faster than it ordinarily does, don't believe in my Jesus." Yes, what a courageous man this martyr was. And then you will recall the testimony of the great apostle Paul when he took his first missionary journey with his fellow missionary Barnabas. They traveled from their base city, which sent them out, the city of Antioch, and then they traveled to Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. They went to a couple of cities, and then came to the city of Antioch, another Antioch. There was the Antioch that was the base from which the missionaries were sent out, and then they went to this city of Antioch, and there they were persecuted very badly. And then they next moved eastward to the next city, the city of Iconium. And there they were persecuted again, very badly. And then from Iconium, they went to the city of Lystra. Ah, there the persecution was terrible. Paul was stoned till he nearly died. In fact, his persecutors thought that he had died. Yes, but the brethren stood around him. Presumably, they prayed for him. And Paul rose up. And what do you think? Paul gave up? No. Paul next went to the next city, the city of Derbe, the easternmost city, Derbe. And then actually from Derbe, he could have gone back to his base city, the city of Antioch. It was not far away. But no, he did not do that. Instead of doing that, he backtracked. From Derbe, he went back to Lystra, the place where he was stoned till he nearly died. Yes, what a courageous man, right? And then from Lystra, went back to Iconium, and then to Antioch again. And then later on, took this journey back to the city of to the base city of Antioch. Now, this was a man, even if you were to kill him, he would not run. Yes, that was how courageous Paul was. Now today, we do not have any persecution at all. Yes, but what kind of courage do we have in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's ask ourselves, how courageous are we in our witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ? I dare say that many times we are very cowardly, right? True or false? True. Many times very cowardly. We then witness for the Lord. We are very, very quiet. We then speak for the Lord. I remember one time my wife and I were going back to Singapore. And then I remember that I prayed that I would be a testimony for the Lord. I wanted to witness for him. So I carried some tracts along with me. And I said, I will speak to my fellow passenger in the plane. And then I boarded the plane, and then I boarded the plane, and behold, there was this man who was seated next to me. And as usual, the first thing the passengers in the plane would do would be to put on the earphone and then turn on the on-flight TV to watch the in-flight movies. And he was doing that, very, very absorbed in what he was doing in his entertainment. So I said, "Speak to him, don't speak to him. Speak to him, don't speak to him. Wow, if I speak to him, he's going to be angry with me for the rest of the whole journey." But in the end, I picked up enough courage to talk to him about the gospel. And you guess what? He was not angry at all. In fact, he was quite receptive. Then I asked him finally this question. I said, "But why are you not a Christian?" And he said, "Actually, my brother is a missionary or a pastor, I can't remember which." And then he gave me some explanations as to why he was not becoming a believer. I can't remember the reason. But my point is this, I was so cowardly, it took me so long to pick up enough courage to share the gospel with him. And that's true with many of us. Yes, we are so scared to share the gospel with others. Many times we are fearful of giving the gospel up because we are thinking of the other person. No! We are thinking about ourselves. We are fearful what people might think of us. Yes, I dare say that we are fearful of giving out the gospel because we are fearful that people think that we are behind time, we are out of date, we are obsolete, yes, and that we are unscientific. And we are very, very afraid that people in the office, if we were to share the gospel with them, they will isolate us, they will treat us as people who are very, very abnormal. But friends, let us be courageous. If we want to be the good witnesses the Lord wants us to be, we need to be courageous. We are not going to be hurt bodily today, unlikely to be hurt bodily today. Yes, so let us give the gospel. And if we are very, very fearful that we will be hurt bodily, let us take heed to what the Lord says. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, if there is anyone for us to fear, it is not the person to whom we are giving the gospel. If there is any person to fear, it is the Lord. Remember what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." My dear friends, if we are still scared to witness for the Lord, if we then confess him, the Lord says, "You confess me, I confess before you, before my Heavenly Father. You deny me, I deny you before my Heavenly Father." So let's take heed. Now, related to being a courageous witness is being a ready witness. Courageous and be ready. Verse 15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope in you with meekness and fear." How ready are we to witness for the Lord? Many times we are so fearful of speaking for the Lord, and so we very, very cowardly say this. Yes, it is the life that counts. Not what I say, it is the life that counts. And so we don't open our mouth to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Let people know my conduct, let people know my behavior, then they will come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior." Now, it is absolutely necessary that we live exemplary Christian lives. Absolutely necessary. But it's also absolutely necessary that we confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth. There is no such a thing as a silent witness. If we are true believers, then we must necessarily confess him. And surely, if we live exemplary Christian lives, people are going to ask us, "Why you behave in this manner?" Isn't it true? If we live exemplary Christian lives. Let me give you a very simple example. Now, if you are living an exemplary Christian life, you will be giving thanks in public. And when you bow down your head to give thanks, are people not going to ask you why you are doing that? Isn't it true? People will ask you. And when people ask you, what? You keep quiet. You don't keep quiet. You will definitely have to give an explanation of why you do that you bow your head to give thanks unto the Lord. So, my dear friends, speak up for the Lord. Yes, be courageous witnesses for him. Be ready witnesses for him. Don't say it is the life that counts. Of course, the life must count. But let us be willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth. Now, what it also means that we must know the gospel well if we want to be ready to be able to give to an answer to every man that asks us for the reason of the hope that is in us. We must know the gospel well. And better still, if we are able to present it well. Yes? So what does it mean? My dear friends, there is no shortcut in regards to knowing God's word. No shortcut in being able to present the gospel well. No such a thing as a shortcut. We really have to study God's word. We must zealously study God's word, be diligent in studying God's word, know God's word well enough, know the Lord Jesus Christ well enough, so that we may be able to effectively present the gospel to people. Then when we witness for the Lord, let us do so with meekness and with fear. People are not going to be very, very impressed with the gospel if in the course of presenting the gospel, we come across as being proud and haughty. Now, years ago, I actually witnessed this discussion. It was more like a little debate between a minister of the gospel and this man whose belief was faulty. The minister of the gospel, of course, had the truth. Yes, and he was trying to convince this young man of his wrong beliefs. All right, I was the witness there. Now, the minister was very, very effective. He was able to quote from scriptures and so forth. He was very effective in presenting his argument. But you guess what? This young man was even more effective in his counter-argument. You know why? Because he was so meek, he was so humble when he answered all the questions and when he presented his counter-arguments. Not haughty at all, not flustered at all. I say, if you were a neutral person, I was not neutral, of course, I was siding the minister. But if I were neutral, an unbeliever, if I were neutral, I had to favor this young man in his arguments. I would be more inclined to believe him than the minister, because this young man was so steady, so humble, so meek in his answers to the arguments made by the minister. So, friends, it is very, very needful that when we present the gospel, let us not come across as being proud and haughty. And then, when we witness, we must do so with fear. Yes, fear of the one true living God, but not fear of the person to whom we are sharing the gospel. But that does not mean that we can be disrespectful of the person's belief and disrespectful of the person. My dear friends, when we share the gospel with them, of course we don't fear them, but let us be respectful of them. At least, the least that we can do is to be very, very respectful of their sincerity. That's the least that we can do. Then to be an effective witness, we must also be living witnesses. In other words, our profession of our belief must be backed up by the way we live. We must be living witnesses. Look at verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Our conscience must be pure. Yes, we must be living witnesses. Our conscience must be pure, one that is cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. A conscience that is attentive to God's word, a conscience that is sensitive to God's word. Our lives must be so pure so that those who accuse us of wrongdoings will find that they have nothing to accuse us of. That is how pure we ought to be. Our lives must be so pure that we will be able to show clearly people the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, are we living lives pure enough to tell people this? You follow me to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Will our lives be pure enough to the extent that we are able to say this to people? You follow me to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we be able to do that? By the grace of God, let us aim to be able to do that. Live lives that are very, very pure. Yes, and be the effective witnesses that he wants us to be. And finally, for our witness to be effective, we must be sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, what is meant by sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts? Very, very simply put, it is this. Put the Lord God first in our hearts. That is what is meant by sanctifying the Lord. Put him first in our hearts. Yes, in other words, we must be completely surrendered to him. There is no other way for us to be effective witnesses for him except that we put him first in our hearts. Now, today, yes, do we have a sanctuary in our heart today? Is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the Lord Jesus? I ask that question because we are supposed to be the temples of God's Holy Spirit. So do we have a sanctuary in our heart in which the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne? Do we have that sanctuary in us? Whether we are in the shopping center shopping, whether we are in our school, whether we are in our uni, whether we are in our club, whether we are at our workplace, are we very, very conscious that we have a sanctuary in our heart and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne in that sanctuary? Are we very, very conscious of that? In other words, are we surrendered believers? Are we putting him first in our lives? Now, at the start of the worship service, we always sing this little song. Yes, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is supposed to be here in our church. The Lord is supposed to be in all Bible-believing churches. The Lord is supposed to be there. But friends, and the whole earth is supposed to keep silence before him. The whole earth should be worshiping him. Isn't that true? The word of God says, let the whole earth keep silence before him. But what do we see today? Yes, the whole world is supposed to keep silence before him, but people bypass the church. They don't go into the church. They go to the beaches, they go to some places to have the fun, they go mountain climbing and so forth. And of course, there are those who keep silence before him. They keep silence in vain. See, they don't come to church. You see? But friends, that must not be the case. And why is this happening? My dear friends, this is happening because you and I, as individual believers, do not have this sanctuary in our heart. Or at least, we are very, very forgetful that we have this sanctuary in our heart, in which the Lord Jesus Christ must occupy top place. We forget that we have that. In other words, we forget that we are surrendered Christians. Now, if we are surrendered Christians, surrendered witnesses, we will definitely be more effective witnesses for the Lord. And if we are more effective witnesses for the Lord, surely we are going to attract more people to come to the house of the Lord to worship him. So how can we be effective witnesses for the Lord? First, we are to be followers of that which is good. We are to be zealous of that which is good. We are to be courageous, ready witnesses, and we must be living witnesses. And finally, for our witness to be effective, we must be sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. The Lord must be given first place in our heart. Wherever we go, we must remember that we have this sanctuary in us, and the Lord is occupying first place in this heart of ours. In other words, we must be surrendered Christians. My dear friends, it is only in this way that we can be effective witnesses for the Lord. And let us be the effective witnesses that he wants us to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You have called us, O Lord God, to be your witnesses. Enable us, O Lord God, to be the witnesses that you want us to be. Father, we know that we have failed many a time. We pray that you will help us, O Lord God, so that we may be the witnesses that you want us to be. Witnesses that are sober, watchful, prayerful. Witnesses that are courageous, zealous, living, surrendered, and ready. Help us, O Lord God, to do well for you, so that we may indeed be able to attract many to come into your kingdom. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.